conference finals are in full swing and the action increases from game to game. This is where the contenders are separated from the pretenders. To give you some skin in the game, DraftKings will be offering free-to-play pools every day of the basketball and hockey playoffs, offering players a free shot at $10,000 in total prizes. That's up to $10,000 in total prizes up for grabs each day. The best part is, it's free-to-play. DraftKings free-to-play pools are easy to enter. Just download the DraftKings app, go to Pools, and choose from a wide variety of free contests for an opportunity to win cash prizes. DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable, so you can deposit and withdraw your money at your convenience. Download the top-rated DraftKings app now and use promo code THPN when you sign up to get a free shot at $10,000 in total prizes every day in the NBA and NHL playoffs. Head to DraftKings Pool to Play page to get your shot at huge cash prizes. That's promo code THPN for a limited time only at DraftKings. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details.
What's going on? Cody Jans and Katie Caldwell with you. It's World Hockey Report presented by Lordco Auto Parts. Now open in Edmonton on St. Albert Trail Northwest. For almost 50 years, Lordco Auto Parts household name across Western Canada. Proudly Canadian owned and operated, Lordco carries much more than just car parts. Newest store on St. Albert Trail Northwest. Huge selection of aftermarket auto parts and accessories and a dedicated truck center. Whether you're looking for high performance parts, shop equipment, paint, body supplies, outdoor gear, whatever you need, visit them today for exceptional customer experience 7 days a week, or learn more about their products and services at lordco.com. Boom, crush that ad read. We're buzzing with the client.
Nailed it.
Hop in the chat. Let us know what you're feeling. Habs, huge win yesterday. Tampa's got a chance to close things out tonight. Let's snap it over to BC. Katie, what's going on?
Another day in paradise. Cody, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. I don't know if you can hear the noise outside. I know we talked a little bit about it before. There is construction happening everywhere. Plus, it's like the wind's a million miles an hour. We are not winning in that aspect today, but I'm
good. We've got some construction happening on my condo building too. Just perfect all around, the great settings. It's So if you guys hear anything, my apologies, or if my laptop.
It's the best. It's the best. Hey, huge show coming up, though. We are going to talk with Las Vegas Sun and Weekly reporter Justin Emerson here in a second. Then later on, it's Rob Garrison, Calder Cup champion. I almost said Continental Cup. Calder Cup champion and goalie coach. Yeah, we're going to dive into goalies. It's been Tendy Talk playoffs. I mean, they've absolutely stolen the show. So let's dive into it right now with Justin Emerson for our friends at Pro Rock Hockey Sticks, Canadian-owned company. Go check them out today, prorock.com. Justin, we appreciate you hopping on, and you knew the first question is going to be about the goaltending. Was sitting Robin Lehner on the bench yesterday the right call?
Yeah, I don't know. That was definitely the topic of the conversation here in Las Vegas. I'm not sure how much Leonard versus Fleury played an outcome in last night's game. I think that a lot of those goals were more on the defense than they were on the goalie. But I thought it was interesting. I mean, Leonard was spectacular in game four. He was the reason that they won the game. And putting him on the bench was a choice. So I guess we'll see what they do for game six tomorrow, an elimination game.
Justin, what's happening with Vegas's big gun forwards? Like, sure, it's great to get scoring with from your blue line, but typically that's in addition to your top six.
Yeah, no, for sure. The Golden Knights forwards now have four goals this entire series. Two of them are from Nicholas Waugh. One of them's from Matthias Janmark. Max Pacioretty got a goal last night. He's the only one of the top six, plus Alex Tuck, who has a goal this series. And that's a problem. Mark Stone, in particular, has been He's really struggled. He doesn't have a point at all this series. It seemed like in Montreal, I thought they matched lines pretty well and they put Philip Deneau on him. But even last night in Vegas, Vegas shook up the lines and Stone wasn't doing anything against anybody. So it's definitely a problem. It's been a series long problem. You're right. You know, when Alex Pietrangelo's got three goals and the defense is scoring, that's great. You'll love to see that. But you need the forwards to do something. And they really haven't. And it's got them one game from elimination right now.
Well, and when you talk about Mark Stone, the frustration that he was showing yesterday was something that I hadn't seen from him in a long time. And it was just really noticeable for me, and it was more than once. But Justin, I want to ask you about their power play. So the Knights are sitting at, I think, 10% for the playoffs. What do they have to change to start taking advantage of these opportunities when they're given to them?
I think a little bit of everything. It's weird, right? Because there's so much talent on this power play. When you look at a unit that has Mark Stone and Max Pacioretty and Alex Pietrangelo and William Karlsson and Jonathan Marchessault and all these guys, there's no reason why they shouldn't be scoring. And they're not. They're 0 for 13 in the series now. They're 4 for 41 in the postseason. That's under 10%, and that's just not going to get it done. Riley Smith said after game three, the power play is costing us the series right now. And he could kind of say that because at that point, 5-on-5 was doing well. But now 5-on-5 is not good either. Power play is not good. And it's been two games now that the Canadians have just looked like a better team than the Golden Knights. And that's troubling for them.
Justin, I want to ask you about the home crowd, because I thought that was going to play a bigger difference in this series than it has. Montreal hasn't played in front of a full barn all year. I really expected a different outcome. Why has Vegas not had the success on home ice this series that everyone expected?
It's interesting because in the first series against Minnesota, they lost two out of the four games. They lost game one at home. It seemed like they got it together. They won all three of the home games against Colorado in the second round. But you're right, they just haven't played well on home ice against the Canadiens. I think in that first game, the Canadiens came out really well in the first period, and the Golden Knights got a goal. And it might have shell-shocked Montreal a little bit, kind of seeing 18,000 people going nuts into what looked like a nightclub as a pregame show. But, I mean, Montreal hasn't played in front of big crowds all year, but I mean, they're used to playing in front of big crowds. I mean, you've seen Bell Center, you know what that's like. So I think that after a bit of an adjustment, they're like, you know what, we can do this. We've played in these big crowds, these Canadian markets that go insane and all that. So they know what that's like. I think that after that adjustment period, it really hasn't been that big of a deal. And the Golden Knights just haven't been able to ride that kind of home wave. Looked a little bit after Pacioretty scored last night to make it 3-1. The crowd was trying to get him back into it. It's like, okay, here we go. And they could just never capitalize on it.
Last question for me, Justin. Is this going back to Vegas? And who do you have in net next game?
That's a great question, both of them. Earlier this series, it's like, okay, maybe the Canadians get one, maybe two of these. You know, they've got three now. And like I said earlier, they've just been the better team than the Golden Knights for running on more than two games. And going back to Montreal, you got to travel across the country, you got to do all this. You don't get that home crowd behind you. It's going to be tough. And Golden Knights have, you know, they've only played one elimination game this postseason. They won a game seven against Minnesota in the first round. So they're gonna kind of have to dig deep and figure this one out if they want another home game this season. And for who's in net, like I said earlier, I don't necessarily think Alex Kynes is on Fleury. I don't think he's on the goaltenders. But I think getting a little spark in net, I'd go Robin Leonard personally tomorrow night for game six.
There you go. You heard it first from Justin Emerson, Vegas Golden Knights reporter for the Las Vegas Sun and Weekly. Justin, thank you so much for hopping on the show here this morning. We appreciate it.
Cody, Katie, anytime. Thanks a lot.
Justin Emerson right there, Vegas Golden Knights reporter for the Las Vegas Sun and Las Vegas Weekly. I like your question about the power play, because that's one huge concern that everyone knows in the playoffs. If your special teams aren't phenomenal, you're going to have issues. And when you look at Montreal, I want to give more credit to their penalty kill than, you know, I've already given them. But Vegas's power play has just been mediocre at best. It's been tough to watch.
Well, and when I watched that, I think you're absolutely right. I think it's a combination of much like the Bolts and the Isles game, where it was the Islanders' worst game with the Lightning's best game. I think it's a bit of the same with special teams in the Habs and Knights series. It's their penalty kill looks good, and a lot of people are simply talking about how Vegas's power play looks bad. But I think it's a little column A and a little column B.
Never heard that, Tom. Sure. Call it me. I'm trying to process that in my brain.
Have you been in society before? That's such a common phrase.
I have never heard that on prospects. What's column B? I get it. There's two sides to here. We can simplify this. I really like the way that Montreal has battled adversity in this series, whether you want to blame it on the refs, whatever you really want to point the finger at. End of the day, I think Montreal's veterans are leading the way, whether it's Carey Price, Eric Staal, Corey Perry, Shea Weber. They're just getting those extra additions, and I really feel like they are, I know grooming's the bad term, but they're helping out their rookies figure out the playoff game. Look at yesterday, Kankaniemi, Suzuki, Caulfield. These guys are having the playoffs of their life, and I don't think any of this happens if they don't have that leadership they have in the dressing room.
No, I think that's a really good point. I think they found a really wonderful just group together that's finally gelled at the right time. And I think we've reached a point where we need to start giving the Habs credit, because for so long it was, oh, the Leafs blew this. And then we've been talking about what the other team didn't do. And all this series, we've been talking about how the Knights have been blowing it. And I think it is really important to also go, yeah, but the Habs are here for a reason. And so much of the conversation, especially going into this series, was, yeah, if they're going to steal a game, if they're going to win, if this, it's going to be Carey Price standing on his head and stealing a game. It hasn't just been Price. And one of my concerns, I think we talked about it on this show, was their depth at center. And then you look at last night, and that game single-handedly just shut me right up with those concerns. Because, yeah, you don't know how those guys are going to turn out. Like, KK looks amazing. Eric Staal had that amazing heads-up play last night where he comes in and just casually pops in a goal. Like, they're getting production from everywhere, and it's such a cool mix of, like you said, with those veterans, the Corey Perrys, the Carey Price that steps it up in the postseason, with guys like Caulfield, Suzuki. It is Caulfield.
I heard that. I was definitely make fun of that one.
At least not Caulfield.
Well, he also said KK instead of saying Kankaniemi. That's my favorite, is because that's just a weird name to say. And it's like, if you want to get tongue-tied, try say a Finnish name. One of the worst languages of all time.
I'm not going to say that, but I do struggle saying
it. A huge friend of the show. He's awesome. But again, we got to poke fun at the Finns. From Vegas' perspective, were you shocked that they went back to Fleury after Leonard wins them game four?
Their goaltending situation is so interesting, because I feel like Justin said, I don't think the goalie was necessarily the reason they lost that game last night. I wanted to ask you a question about that, because I was thinking about this last night, and this might be a wild out to lunch question, and I know you'll tell me if it is. When you look at the game where they put Leonard in, and everybody's saying, oh, I don't agree with that, what were they thinking? If Leonard gets blown out that game, like if it's another 7-1 like we saw against the Avalanche, does DeBoer keep his job?
I think he keeps his job, but I think next year would be a very short leash for him. It would be one of those things where you've just moved the needle into the red, and now you're in trouble, because that's a decision that you not live and die with. That's a terrible terminology, but that is your job on the line, is you saying, I want to go with Robin Leonard because I like big goaltenders. I like blocking style goaltenders. And, you know, that was a huge reason for, you know, Leonard getting all these starts when Marc-Andre Fleury's been arguably the best goaltender in the NHL this season, especially during the regular season. So, yeah, you really have to consider Pete DeBoer's decision right there as a job changer.
Well, and coaches with essentially a 1A and a 1B goaltender, there are a lot of advantages to that, obviously. But I feel like in a lot of these situations, we're big Michael Scott fans on this show. We've talked about how we're going for a win-win-win. But I feel like it could almost be a lose-lose, because if you lose any of these games, now that you're making these goaltender decisions, going in, if you know they lose, like, it's easy to point back and to call it as the wrong decision. Whereas if you're the Habs right now, obviously Price is going in. And Jake Allen is obviously a solid backup. Like you saw in the regular season, he was more so the starter. But I don't know. Like, what do you think about that? Where I don't want to say blessing and a curse. I don't think it's a curse to have two amazing goalies. But if you make what's in hindsight known as the wrong decision, what do you think about that? Like, does that got to be tough for DeBoer to make those calls?
My biggest issue is, when is the last time a team with a 1A and 1B goaltending tandem won the Stanley Cup?
That's a great question.
Murray, because Matt Murray was not a 1B that season at all. So very interesting to break it down where I think that Marc-Andre Fleury is their guy. Mm-hmm. And that's the reason why they're saying, okay, Leonard got us the win, but we got to go back to him. And now I think they've shot themselves in the foot for game six, because I think you have to go back to Leonard. And we got to remember, Robin Leonard's played two games in the past 2 months of hockey. I don't know. That's not an exact stat or anything. He hasn't played as much as Fleury. That's a simple math there.
Well, and his goals against average going to the or in the playoffs going into that game where he was slotted in, was that game four? I get all my games mixed up. His goals against average were 7. Is that
correct? Well, yeah. Okay, but we can't pick and choose stats. If I'm not allowed to pick and choose stats, neither are you. Of course, pop in the chat here. Let us know your thoughts. Who do you go with in game six? If you're Vegas, you got predictions for the Isles Tampa tonight. Let us know. And this is one thing that I gotta say. I mean, Pat, you know who you are in the chat. You're trying to call us out for saying you guys all picked Vegas. Two of the hosts, I don't know if you saw that. It was multiple times. Like, people are like, you guys all picked Vegas. I was like, you and Adam both picked Montreal to win this series. Yeah. Vegas in 7, which is going to be right when it happens. But again, like, you two picked Montreal to win. So I don't know why everyone's saying, oh, you guys are just Vegas fanboys and stuff like that. No, that was one of the things. I had to air that one out on the show because it made no sense. Where I'm like, do you not follow the predictions? I mean, we put them out there on the charts. I spend a good 15 minutes on those things.
Oh, and I wish it was on the show. It was before I had started with you, but I did a video with Sports Tree with Connor Roundtree. And so there's video evidence of it. I was the only person that said, I'm not sure the Leafs are going to beat the Habs in this series. And I will eat crow on this, that I didn't necessarily think that because the Habs were that great. I just spoke about how I think that the Leafs, it's theirs to lose because they did. But yeah, I started to believe in the Habs. Like, I said the Jets in the second round. Absolutely. I did not see that one coming. But yes, I did pick the Habs to beat the Knights in this. And I will take credit for that. So did Adam.
Well, they haven't won yet, so you can't take credit for it. I'm just saying.
No, but for my pick, though, for not just being a Vegas fanboy, as people love to call me.
I mean, you are wearing the gold and black shirt. So, again, Vegas fan, yeah. You got to hand that one over a little bit. Hey, going back to the game yesterday, obviously, I think that first period plays a huge part in momentum because Vegas comes out buzzing and Carey Price shuts the door. Are you confident we can see Carey Price hold his own for another 8 games, 9 games? How much more he might have to play? Because this is a stretch that Carey Price hasn't been on in who knows how long.
Yeah, I do get a little more nervous if they make it to the final and if it is Tampa, because their offense is just so electric and they can beat you in so many different ways. But we also spoke about that about Vegas going in. And that's what's cool, is they're getting a lot of production on offense, the Habs, because the big narrative through the whole postseason is if they can score 3 or 4 goals, which they've been able to score 3, no problem, Carey Price can do his work on his end. So I don't know. I just like the way this team is vibing together. I think it's time that we stop just automatically writing them off going into any series. So yeah, my gut tells me that Tampa is just a bit too strong, but it's... the Isles are still in it. We shouldn't say that, but the 8-0 game, man.
that was terrible. And we're going to get to that one later for NHL news for Pro Rock Hockey Sticks, but we got a goalie guru sitting by. Everyone knows we love Tendy Talk on the show. So it's Rob Garrison coming to you after the commercial break for our friends at Coco Vodka, Coco Rum. I got a lot more thoughts on this Montreal Vegas series. We will get to it. You fill up your coffee again. We're going to hit a commercial break. Everyone in the comments, let us know at World Hockey RPT. We're coming to you live on this Wednesday morning. It's Cody Jans and Katie Caldwell with you. We need more Tendy Talk on. Everyone knows that goalie people, we respect the goaltending side of things, and that's what we're going to do. It's Cody Jans and Katie Caldwell with you here on World Hockey Report, presented by Lord Co Auto Parts, the one-stop shop for quality RV, car, truck, or marine parts and accessories. Now open on St. Albert Trail Northwest in Edmonton. Our next guest, Ron Bjornson, brought to you by Coco Vodka, Coco Rum. The weather is beautiful out there. I can't even say it's getting nicer anymore. It's been gorgeous. It's golf weather. You need something to sip on while swinging the sticks, lighting up the barbecue, or watching Stanley Cup playoff hockey. New cans are out in Canada. These things are unbelievable. Tall Boys, the absolute best drink of summer. Flavors are coming next to Canada. Don't wait for it. Enjoy Coco Life with us. High quality ingredients, no fillers, no beer bloat, no cheap liquor. Coco Vodka, Coco Rum. You will not be disappointed. Alrighty, our next guest, Rob Bjornson, hopping on the show here this morning. He's a goalie guru. He's a Calder Cup champ. He's now a goalie coach, and he's going to break this thing down for us. What was Pete DeBoer thinking, Rob? That's the question of the day. He goes with Marc-Andre Fleury after Robin Lehner wins him game four in Montreal. Were you shocked by that? Because I was.
Yeah, I mean, I think the move to go to Lehner in the last game, I think, was a little bit shocking, too. But I mean, Fleury's been so good for them up until, I don't know, I don't think he was at his best maybe the last few games of this series. But I think it's one of those situations where, like, coach knows his players and he knows how guys are going to handle those kinds of situations. And I mean, for Lehner to come in and do what he did, I think I probably would have stayed with him. And now it's a tough decision again to go back to him or to stick with Fleury now.
So, Rob, while we're talking about Lehner, what did you make of him trying to get into Cole Caulfield's head with a scouting report on him?
I don't know. I mean, I, like, when I played, I didn't want to do anything like that. I think it shows a tremendous amount of confidence to be able to do that. And I guess he backed it up. We'll see if he goes in again. We'll see how see if it affects him. One of those things that, like, when you do something like that, no matter what happens, people are going to read into it either way. And it may not be something that's in his head, but it might be. And there's no way to know. But it's like calling your shot, right? You're putting a lot of pressure on yourself.
So, Rob, as we've seen with Vegas, most of their scoring has been coming from their D-men. Are you seeing a trend in the ways they've been able to beat Carey Price? And how have both those teams adjusted to that through the series?
You know what? Like, I think a lot of the credit's got to go to Montreal with the way they're playing defense. Like, I don't think it's a really sustainable strategy to be always looking at point shots. I mean, the shooting percentages from up at the blue line are so low. But I guess that's a part of their game. They've got really good D and they activate their D well. I think the thing that you need to do against Price that I didn't see them do in the last game was change angles on him. I think they're one of their best scoring chances was like, Pietrangelo had that slap shot from the top of the circle, but like right in his crest, there was no adjustment. Price just stood there. I mean, it was a pretty easy save. And then when you're not changing angles, like Theodore did on the fake shot where he made that pass to Martinez, like that's what you got to do against Price. Sometimes he gets charging out where he's not totally set. And I mean, he's kind of a freak in that he can, even that play, he almost made the save. So you really have to change angles on him and you got to get him moving. And I don't think they've been doing that.
Well, I guess you could say Pacioretty changed the angle after he whiffed on that first shot on the first goal.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the best example of it, right? Like the Price got set a little bit when on that first shot. He didn't bite on the shot, but his feet weren't moving and Pacioretty kind of moved right past him on the shot.
Yeah, we won't say he tried to do that on purpose. Rob, you're a goalie coach now, and obviously Carey Price, I would say these playoffs, this is one of the best goaltending performances I remember in the playoffs for a stretch of time in a long while here. What's one thing you hope that young goalies, doesn't matter, I mean, you can be minor hockey, junior, pro, who are watching Carey Price right now are taking away from his game. What's one thing you hope that sticks with Tendies?
I think the thing that's always made Price so good is his pushes are so, so good. Like he moves so well. And a lot of times, like the thing everybody talks about with Carey Price is that he's calm. And so much of that, like he is definitely a calm person, everything I've heard about him. But he's also, a lot of that is also that he's just, he's not moving when the camera gets to him because he's already moved. Like he beats passes all the time. So like that Pacioretty shot or the Petrangelo shot I was talking about earlier, it hits him right in the chest. Like that's a lot of this. Some of the stuff he does is not. I wouldn't advise some goalies to do because some stuff he does is just because he's a freak. But when he's beating passes, when he's centered on every shot, like he's so good. And he's such a good skater.
Katie, do you got one more for Rob? I got a fun one, but if you got something, fire away.
No, I'm just going to ask prediction for the next two games or one.
I don't know. I'd like to see the game. I'd like to see it go seven. So I don't know. I've been wrong on almost everything with Montreal. Up to the way Price has played all playoffs. I don't want to make a prediction. I guess I'm being a little bit of a coward. But I'd like to see it go seven because it's been pretty fun hockey to watch. Mm-hmm.
Rob guarantees a game six win for Vegas. Rob, you won a Calder Cup in Chicago. Wait, was that 2009?
2008.
2008. What was it like? I mean, you got to give us one funny story from the party. I mean, that's not a small trophy to win, and you're in one of the best cities in America, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, so when we won it, we were lucky enough to win it at home. So we had a crazy party in the dressing room. I think we ended up getting out of the dressing room at like 3 a.m. and our owner paid this really fancy restaurant that was near the rink to stay open. So like at 3 a.m, the team and all the families and everybody went over to a hotel, to this restaurant and had lobster. And everybody was just like, all the players got to have showers, but all the family members were just covered in champagne and beer. And it was hilarious.
Lobster, the number one food you want after you've been champagne and beer in the dressing room. Rob, thank you so much for hopping on the show. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Rob Gerson, right there, Calder Cup champ, current goalie coach, and as well, follow him on Twitter at @goalie_coach. I might have just botched that one live. I started thinking 17 different thoughts in my head. Hey, let's get back into some NHL news here for Pro Rock Hockey Sticks. Family-owned Canadian company changing the hockey stick game. Best price point, best stick on the market. Check them out today, ProRock.com. You got any more thoughts on Habs Vegas? Because I got one more. But again, I don't want to, you know, I think he might be thinking the same thing here when it comes down to physical play. And it's going to be about refs. And I wonder, you got anything you got to get out there on this series?
I'm really happy that last night the reffing wasn't the big storyline of the game. Because I feel like that's what we need.
Fans that.
What's that?
Ask Vegas fans. They were still bitching and complaining about it.
Well, fans will always bitch and complain. That's just how the world goes. But I'm really happy because in game three and game four. Oh, I have so many thoughts. I don't even know where to start. Finally, it wasn't the big storyline. I think, Cody, we are a little bit different in how we feel about reffing. For the most part, I'm with you that I think it's a thankless job. We shouldn't be complaining. We're all human. For the most part, I'm with that. This postseason felt different for me. And I've heard that from a few other people that I get that we're all human. Everybody makes mistakes. Like, I make mistakes minutely throughout my life. But it's the inconsistency for me. It's like game four was the big one where that call on Suzuki being the first call of the game when there were easily 10 missed calls in the regular season throughout that whole game. And for me, it's just, how do you know what the first call is going to be? Because in theory, that's the one that sets the tone. And we've talked that call to death. I totally get that. But for me, it was just the level of inconsistency has been so, so frustrating. And when guys are punching each other in the face directly in front of Chris Lee, that to me is just like, I'm not a referee. We all know I don't know how to play hockey. But when I watch that, I go like, what am I missing here? And that, so it was really nice that the level of frustration from everyone as a whole with the referees, I didn't see that last night. That was the first time I thought, okay, I don't want to say like well reffed or just they did their jobs, which we didn't see in game three and game four necessarily.
Well, technically the refs did their job in game three and game four. It was just people didn't think they did a good job or they did good at their jobs. I don't know if that makes sense. But again, like, I mean, they're still out there. They're going to have impact on the game no matter what. I think one of the big things that I've kind of realized now, especially in hearing people's feedback, is that these refs are scared to impact the game so much so that they are impacting it. And I think two things would really, really change this would be to have more coincidentals called. I think that would go a long way. I think that would make players smarten up a little bit and throw in 10-minute misconducts. If there's stuff that's going on after the play that they can't actually get under control, you have to draw the line somewhere. And the playoff inconsistencies, I get it. I'm fine with them putting away their whistles in playoffs. I don't know. It is inconsistent. But again, I would hate to see a special team showcase. As I said on Monday on Oilers Now, people hated that one. But again, I don't want to see 10 power plays a game for each team.
Right, but there has to be a standard. And that's the problem is at puck drop of a game, typically there's a standard set for what that game is going to look like. Every game is different. Every team is different. Every referee is different. But typically there's a bit of a standard of what's called and what's not. And that's what's hard is when there is absolutely no standard, when nothing's being called, these guys are always going to push those boundaries. And when there are no boundaries and you're still pushing those boundaries, I get worried about guys getting hurt. Like, I get on the referee's end what you were saying about they're nervous to call to, and I get that, but this isn't about the refs. We're not here to coddle the refs. The game isn't about the refs. In a perfect world, you don't notice they're there because they just do their job. They make their calls. We press on. Nobody complains. Obviously, we don't live in a perfect world. But that's what I get nervous about is guys getting seriously hurt because there just wasn't a standard set. So guys continue to push those boundaries without recognizing what they were. And then as soon as that happened, there's nothing you can do to take it back. That's why I love a tough series. I love a physical series. I like putting the whistles away a bit. And I also understand that the way the guys, like, we talk so much about how it's refereed so different in the postseason, but it's played so different in the postseason. So that's a big part too, is like, even going back to that Scheifele hit, that's not being made in the regular season. So I get that the standards are different, but you still have to set those standards. And because, like I said, I'm just worried about guys getting hurt.
That's totally fair. And I think that the refs have to make a decision, or the reffing group as a whole, I don't know, whoever governs the refs, are we out there for player safety or are we out there to control the game? Because a little gas hooking call is controlling the game. A D-man getting run from behind in the playoffs, that's a concern. That's why we want refs on the ice. That's the stuff that needs to be taken care of. I don't like the punching in the head. Again, I'm not as worried for their safety. If, you know, they're both standing there willingly punching each other on the head with gloves on, that's a coincidental penalty. It should be. But again, I'm a lot more concerned about big hits, dangerous hits, not being called.
Those are the ones I mean. Yeah.
Flashing calls. And that's where it comes down to the superstars and their agents. That's what they want refs to focus on. It's the Austin Matthews getting slashed or hooked on the hands, Johnny Gaudreau getting slashed or hooked on the hands. These aren't serious injuries, but this is where they're going, hey, if they can't do that, my client's going to get more points and I'm going to get paid more. I think there is that, not pure pressure, but there's that outside pressure that is really, really muddying the waters here on the reffing side.
That's a really good point. And to kind of piggyback off that, as a hockey fan, especially if I'm watching a series that I have zero fandom in and I'm just looking for good hockey, I want to see the best players do the best things. And oftentimes that's hard when someone's on a breakaway and then you have someone come up and just, oh, hook them, no big deal. And they're doing so many things like your fourth liners they can just get away with where they don't necessarily have to utilize skill. They're utilizing, they know the refs won't necessarily call it. So in that sense, I'm like, I kind of miss just watching skilled players be skilled with a bit less of the dirty calls.
I don't know. Hey, everyone, if you're watching, let us know in the comments at World Hockey RPT. I want to know your thoughts. Comment. I mean, do you like how it's being reffed? What would you like being changed? I don't know. I want to hear from more people other than just the fans going, the refs are screwing us. Well, if you don't have a solution, we can't go anywhere. You can't just be like, oh, I want the refs to call this because it's going to help my team. No, we need actual solutions. And as you said, you want to see more skilled things. Well, if the league wants to see that and the players want to see that, then I think they got to push for it. Or if the players want to say, hey, I want playoffs how they were back in 2006 when Corey Perry's winning a Stanley Cup, we're talking two different games, two different yeah. seasons, essentially. You know, think about it for those guys who are, you know, 40 years old, late 30s, they played hockey in like 2001, 2002, where line brawls happen every single playoff series, it felt like. It's a totally different game. And yes, I enjoyed hockey back then. The playoffs were more exciting back then. Does that mean that my answer is the right one in this situation? No, I think the game is changing. I think skill's taking over. I just think we got to find a better balance here.
Skill and speed are taking over. The speed is a really big one that I think we need to start being a little more aware of. It's great, but I think that it maybe calls for a conversation of refereeing in the off season, because you're right. Like, how do you change things right now? How do you get control of it right now, mid series? And it's not as easy as just swapping a few extra refs in and out in a COVID world.
Do you think the NHL would benefit from VAR, like soccer, where they're getting that virtual assistant referee? Essentially, it's an eye in the sky, able to call things at their will. Do you think the NHL would benefit from that? Do you think players would like that? I don't know. I'm on the fence.
I think the NHL would benefit from it. And I think at this point, it almost feels inevitable. But I think the NHL will hold off from it as long as they're able to. I think they'll fight kicking and screaming to not have it that way, just because all the reasons of that, this is the way the game is. We like the human aspect. But for everything we just talked about, it seems like eventually they're not going to be able to say no to it. What do you think about it?
The old boys club is going to shut that one down hard. Although
that was my nice way of saying that.
And I mean, hey, some people don't want to say it. I've got no problem. Hockey's, it's full of old white rich dudes. You know, they don't want to change the way the game is. It's the exact same thing as the MLB. You know, they're going through this whole umpire issue with strikes. Mm-hmm. And I mean, we don't even have to get into the whole sticky substance. Did you actually see that video of Buddy pulling down his pants yesterday?
Yes. The MLB, man. I'm not the biggest baseball guy. Like, I'll watch it in the playoffs. When I lived in Toronto, I went to games. It was fun. But like, I see stuff like that and I just go like, how did we get here as a society where we're all watching this going like, yeah, this is the rule. This is...
I don't know.
It's too much. It's too...
No, we don't have the time in the world for us to give logical thoughts on the because I think that sport is as old fashioned as it comes. And those players are insane. Some of the things they are willing to do on live TV. We got to hit a commercial break here on 12 Ounce Sports Single TV channel 761. It's Cody Jans and Katie Caldwell with you. We're going to be back. We'll talk some Bolts Isles after the break. It's World Hockey Report on 12 Ounce Sports. Got a prediction for the Isles and Bolts tonight? Game 6. Going on Long Island. It's been a great series so far. And I'll tell you for free, it looked like Tampa hit the Billies in game 5. They were buzzing. Everyone already knows it's time to ditch the energy drinks and coffee. Get ready to win with Billy Smelling Salts. Designed for athletes looking to get in the zone, Billy Smelling Salts rapidly increase energy levels through brief sniffing. Support Canadian business and go check them out today at shopbillies.co. That's shopbillies.co. Plus, punch in the promo code WHR for an extra 10% off. Of course, use responsibly. It's Cody Jans and Katie Caldwell with you here. World Hockey Report presented by Lordco Auto Parts. Learn more at lordco.com. Follow on Lordco Parts on social media. We want to know your thoughts. Comment them. Let us know. Predictions. Isles, Bolts. Game 6 tonight on Long Island. Katie, we were talking a little bit before the show, and I think that you do have... a little bit more confidence in the Isles than I do. I know they can hit the reset button going in here, but boy, they look terrible. They just looked like they hit that wall and it's over. I don't know. I mean, give me your thoughts.
I do have more confidence than you do, but not necessarily in this game. I just feel like they look, the Lightning looked like the Monstars in that last game. Like, it didn't even look like they were playing the same sport. I feel like Tampa feeds right off that. I think this game will obviously be a lot closer. Not that that's a challenging thing to accomplish, but I think the Lightning get it done tonight. What do you think?
Oh, I'm so on the fence because I love game sevens. Everyone knows that. Mm-hmm. Yes, I want game 7. I want triple overtime. I want all chaos to ensue. But there's also a side of me that thinks, well, for Tampa, could they be coming into this one a little, not cocky, confident, whatever you want to call it, maybe a little lackadaisical and being, hey, now we've got a cushion. If we lose the game, we're just going back to the Amalie Arena where we just absolutely caved these guys' faces in 8-0. You know, are they going to come out with that same piss and vinegar, or is the Coliseum crazies going to show up because this is the last game ever being played in that dump?
Yeah, I hear what you're saying, but at the same time, they're such pros that I just don't think that those guys necessarily have that where we go, oh yeah, we can just casually rock in a Nassau and like not give it our absolute all. Like, they see their one game away from the finals again. I don't know. I just think they're going to feed off of both the energy of the crowd and that last win.
I'm not saying they roll in uber casual, just, you know, showing up 15 minutes before game time, you know, just throwing on it and walking through warmups. But there's that part that's like, wow, these guys must feel defeated after being, you know, beat 8-0 the game before.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if some of that creeps into your head. I can't put myself in an NHL player's shoes. Surprisingly, I'm not at that level. But you get what I'm saying. A little bit of a different one. Hey, obviously, Varlamov has a rough start. I think you have to go back to him in game 6. But do you think there's any chance we see Sorokin start?
I don't think so. I just don't. I think Sorokin was a bit thrown to the wolves last game. Through no fault necessarily. It was that whole game was just a mess. Like, I don't even know what to say about it. I full honesty walked away with about 10 minutes left at 7-0. And I think that's the first time this playoffs I've done that.
Got that one down. Katie hates the NHL playoffs.
Yeah. Hate the playoffs, hate sports in general. But yeah, I think it's a no brainer to go back to Varlamov, but oh, that game, man.
It should be done. If it's not for Ryan Pollock, shout out Pools, play with him and Brandon. Great guy. Yeah. Awesome. Boba kit. If it's not for him, their season's done. Also, this is per complete hockey news. I'm stealing this one live on the fly here. Anders Lee took morning skate once again in a regular practice jersey. If Lee plays, the Islanders will be $7 million over the salary cap. Suck on that, hockey fans. Okay. This is, you know, they've been getting slandered all playoffs, and now the Isles are going to pull this crap?
Oh, that's so funny, because, yeah, that's been the biggest and most hilarious long-running narrative. Oh, well, they're so far over the cap. It's like, first of all, the NHL is a business. Second of all, if you are a team and if you have the opportunity to do so, to utilize that loophole, do not sit here and tell me you're not doing the exact same thing.
Yeah, my favorite's when, like, Chicago Blackhawks or Detroit Red Wing fans are the ones complaining about it. And it's like, do you know the history of your team?
We'd be happy to show you how you utilize something similar.
No, I know. Everyone just becomes angels when it comes to this series. Hey, I want to get your thoughts. This is one that comes up every playoffs with Tampa. Is Braden Point their best player? Best forward? Victor Hedman's their most valuable player when fully healthy. Believe that. What's your thoughts on the Braden Point Nikita Kucherov debate? Because I think Braden Point's better.
I've been getting there, and it's funny because the other night when I was watching that game, I was kind of asking myself that question, and I think I'm starting to lean that way. He's so electric and he's so dynamic and versatile, and it's like, as soon as he's out there, if I'm a Lightning fan, I just have all the hope in the world that every time he touches the puck, he's going to do something brilliant with it.
He's so fast. I mean,
so fast.
Anytime he gets the puck, you see the D-man, they get that oh shit look in their eyes. And I'm not saying I'm not saying he's Nathan MacKinnon out there, but he's not that far off. When he gets the puck and he goes north by himself, he could be, I mean, you know, just that breakaway acceleration, whatever you want to call it, video gamers playing NHL. His acceleration is up there with the best in the league. It has to be.
You're right. No, I totally agree with you. And he's someone that he sees the big spotlight. He sees the pressure of the moment and he thrives in that. And as we've seen in the playoffs, not everyone necessarily thrives there, but he's so consistent. He's so good. And he's just so fun to watch. Like, I have no stake in the Bolts whatsoever, but just watching him play is just such a joy to see him. And he's one of those guys. I think we've talked about this before. He just makes everyone else around him better.
Yeah, that's for sure. And it doesn't matter who he's playing with. We had Kaylee Chelios on the show last week. Yeah, it was last week. And she said, hey, doesn't matter who Braden Point plays with, because in the regular season, he can go lines 1-3 no problem. And in playoffs, they'll put him with Kucherov and Stamkos. And again, it's like they've been playing together all season. That's incredible. Diving into some NHL news here from Pro Rock. Carl Gunnarsson calls it a career. Does he have the biggest goal in St. Louis Blues history? That overtime goal, game 2 against Boston. Fly from the point in overtime, beats Tuukka Rask. And the best story is he's talking with Chief Craig Berube in between the third period and overtime. And they're taking a piss at the urinal. Too much information there. But
like, love this.
And Gunnarsson, Berube said like something like, oh, are you going to be ready? And he's like, just give me one more chance and I'll score. Something like that. And of course, you know, it's like 6 minutes in, something like that. 4 minutes in. He goes and he scores from the point, first shot in overtime. Incredible.
I didn't know the urinal story. That's so excellent.
Yeah, I don't remember that being a big thing. And then it came up again today. And I was like, I think I got to bring that one up. It's just funny. It's funny how life can just connect like that. And who would think, like Carl Gunnarsson, great defenseman. I mean, Swedish stud stallion out there. But again, I mean, congrats to him. A great career. I think that's 12 plus years. I was a huge fan of that Blues team. They battled through adversity. They had a lot of Sasky guys, good Canadian team. They brought it home. So heck of a career to him. I don't know if you saw this as well. The Ottawa Senators, we're not going to rip on them. But again, I mean, you've got more alumni leaving. Chris Phillips, he's resigned from his roles with the hockey club. This includes the Sens Community Foundation, I believe, or I don't know if the community foundation's going as a whole or if it's just Chris Phillips, but there's also a lot of things around that. It sucks. Chris Phillips is obviously one of the good guys of the game. We all know his charity work in and around Ottawa. So it sucks. We hope it's bigger and better things for him. But again, this is just an organization in absolute disarray. Do you have anything to add on that? Or can I go to the Sedins?
No, we can go to the Sedins. You said it. Absolute disarray.
Yeah. So, okay. The Sedins, they're back in Van City. I mean, sounds like their role is going to be more in Abbotsford, but I mean, come on, they're with the Vancouver Canucks. This is huge for the team. And I think that they're not fresh blood, but they needed something different in that organization. They need some sort of team building, some sense of belonging. And they had the most success in their franchise when the Sedins were there. So it was a no-brainer to do anything in their power to bring them back.
Yeah, I'm totally with you. An absolute no-brainer. I'm so thrilled for them and for the organization. I grew up a huge Canucks fan, and they've just been such an integral part of that team for so, so long. There's been a lot of chatter of, oh, is this a PR move? Is this, this, is this? I have no time or energy for that. I trust them. And they're such, like, they buy in and they've bought into that franchise. They've bought into that city. And I don't suspect this is an opportunity they're going to take if they don't think it can be successful. So, yeah, I suspect this is a grooming opportunity or a grooming situation for them to move on to another opportunity. Like, I could see them stepping into a GM role at some point. But my one thing is I look at the Linden situation and he was kind of thrown to the wolves, and you don't want to throw a franchise legend into a management role they aren't prepared for. And I like this move. I think they waited a long enough time, and I think it's a good move. But of course, I think a lot of Canucks fans saw the Linden situation and are a little bit, I don't know if you want to say weary. I'm excited, but there's that little asterisk of like, we've seen a similar road to this and it didn't necessarily go well, but my trust in the Sedins is there. I think it's a no-brainer.
I think, and this is fully my opinion, I think the Vancouver Canucks, I know they played in a different era of Steve Yzerman and Joe Sakic, but they're seeing the success that those two have been having, and they're going, hey, we think we've got two of the brightest hockey minds who have played in the past 20, 30 years in the game. Let's bring them into the organization. Let's see if they've got the smarts, the abilities to do what Stevie Y and Joe Sakic have been able to do. Are preparing them for that management role. You bring up the Linden situation. I mean, you hit the nail on the head there. There's nothing else I can add to that. But do they have what it takes to be the next Joe Sakic or Steve Yzerman? Or are they there strictly in a player development role where they're just going to go skate with the kids, hang out, high five, and shake hands?
Well, I think it can be once again, a little column A, a little column B. You've now heard that phrase twice. But I think they can be in a situation where they're kind of being vibing with the guys, hanging out, but then while also being groomed for a bigger role eventually. But I like the way that they've stepped into it where they're not jumping into a huge role right away, like being a GM. But yeah, I think this is just a really cool stepping stone for them, and see if they like it, see if they're good at it, see if it's the route that they want to take.
I'm going to name three players here. This is a whole different thing. And I want just give me, just let me know where you think they're going to end up next season or two seasons. Bro, Dougie Hamilton.
I think he stays.
Interesting. I think he finds a way to Florida somehow. I don't know how. I just feel like that's a team who wants to add on the back end. I think he's going to be a little cheaper than Seth Jones. And
really?
Florida's got a... You think Dougie Hamilton's going to be more expensive than Seth Jones?
Yeah, 100%. I think Dougie Hamilton's better than Seth Jones.
No.
Roast me all you want. I don't care. Jump in my mentions, everyone. I'd take Hamilton.
Hamilton over Seth Jones.
Yeah, I would.
Really?
Yeah. Confidently.
I don't know.
I'm not a big Seth Jones guy, so I might not be the right one to ask about that. But I do like the sound of Florida man Dougie Hamilton. That sounds funny to me.
I just feel like they saw in the playoffs that they clearly need help on the back end. I don't get it. Ekblad was hurt, but again, you know, they'll make room where necessary. But no, Seth Jones, he's a $9 million D-man. Seth Jones played like 52 minutes in a single hockey game. I think he's one of the most physically fit defensemen, and I think he's one of the most reliable defensemen in the entire NHL.
Okay, that's fair. You're allowed to think that, Cody Jansen. I'm allowed to think that I think he's a bit underrated. Not underrated. Yeah, I'm not the biggest Seth Jones fan.
That's fair. I think it's because of his mom on Twitter that everyone hates him, which is full deserving. Because
that probably doesn't help.
Not to go after someone's family members, but I mean, come on, you can probably pump the brakes on Twitter, mom. We don't, I think the boys can handle themselves there. Okay, moving along. Seth Jones, where do you think he ends up?
I don't have an answer for that.
You have
I
to.
Don't, because I, no, yeah. I don't have one. I don't, where do you think he's going to go? I genuinely don't know with Seth Jones. I don't. You don't have to have an answer for everything.
You have to. You have to. That's the one rule of this game show that we're playing right now.
Then I quit.
Fair. I guess he's going to Seattle. Seattle. Hey, Jack Eichel.
That's a good question.
I'm picking LA before you pick it, and you can't have no answer for this. We have to have answers on two out of the three.
Well, I wasn't prepared for that.
Well, I know that's why I throw curveballs. The team, like R.A. Dickey of the MLB world.
Is there a way that he could be in Calgary?
No, Calgary is way too stupid to trade for a good player. They'll just keep.
That's what I was thinking. I don't trust them enough to go for it.
I mean, they're just going to stick with their same mediocrity the entire time.
What, you're meaning to say it's not working swimmingly for them?
We can't get into Calgary Flames. I can't pull on those strings while we've got this amount of time left. Okay, who are we going to bench today for our friends at Quack Stats, the most advanced player tracking technology? Follow them on Instagram at @Quack_stats. Go check them out. Go check out the web app today. I'm going to say to everyone who hates the North Division. So, I mean, you're sitting, so that's already fine. But again, anyone who says the North Division weak is an absolute idiot, because the North Division, they were so good that we thought the American divisions were bad this year. That's how good they were. Is that like the 23rd best team in the league, the fourth best in the North, is manhandling Vegas right now. So
so many thoughts, and I wish we had 20 minutes.
Also, Vegas has to win in 7, so my prediction comes true. So I hope to eat those words. But again, if not, I say the North Division was the absolute best the NHL's ever seen.
You kill me. I love that so much. Okay, this week I am benching, and you've benched him before, but I'm benching him for a different reason. I'm benching Pete DeBoer because he benched Ryan Reeves. And I think Ryan Reeves' energy could have been felt in that building, or could have been needed in that building last night. I think they needed his physicality. I think it was a bit of a no-brainer for him to play, and then he didn't play. So,
I think Pete DeBoer's a little scared with all the buzz around the reffing that if he plays Ryan Reeves too much,
that'll kill a guy.
I don't know. I like Reeves too. That's totally fair. I don't agree with them, you know, sitting them for 60 minutes. Again, I still think that there's an underlying issue of they don't know what to expect from the refs. So if you bring in that physical toughness, are you going to be sitting in the box for 10 minutes a game?
But you also have to have trust in your guys.
Well, he's got trust in no one. I mean, he pulled Marc-Andre Fleury after, I mean, he's been the star goaltender. This guy trusts no one. Okay,
hence why I benched him.
Yeah, he pulled the class stats benching for us. Okay, bet of the night, mybookie.ag. Shout out 12-ounce sports. Use promo code 120Z Sports, all caps, no spaces. Mybookie.ag, they're going to match your first deposit up to 50%. I'm going with goals tonight. Islanders, Bolts, over 5. I think that one just makes too much sense with what we've seen in this series and just the trend of this one. I think the Isles are playing for their season. They're going to be playing a little bit more offensive than we normally see because they need goals. And Tampa just seems to be in their groove.
Yep. I'm going Tampa in regulation tonight.
Wow. They close it out.
Close it out.
A win. I think just Adam picked the Isles.
I picked the Lightning in 7, I think.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I had them in 7 as well. I had Vegas in 7, so a couple of wins for Vegas, and I'm 2 for 2. Just that easy. That's going to do it, though. Everyone, appreciate who makes the show possible. My bookie, the Hockey Podcast Network, 12-ounce sports, Quack Stats, Billy Smelling Salts, Cocoa Vodka, Cocoa Rum, Pro Hawk Hockey Sticks, Lord Co. Auto Parts. Thanks to our guest, Ron Garrison, Justin Amerson. Actually, you got a score for tonight? Do we put you on the spot for that one?
4-2. 4-2. So confident.
We won't talk about the little bit of a stutter there. I don't mind 4-2, but I think I'm going to go with 5-2, double the empty netters. Tampa wins. We're done. Run over the Coliseum. Without the Isles fans in it, because we love Islanders fans. Just to clarify that one, for Cody Jansen, Katie Caldwell, James Sutherland, our producer. That's going to do it. Till next week, everyone, be kind, be better.